Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, we're all about mixing it up. Now, for some people, mixing it up means fighting, and we'll hear about a war of words between two generations of country music stars. For the supergroup known as Deltron 3030, mixing it up means combining hip-hop with science fiction, courtesy of rapper Del the Funky Homo Sapien, DJ Kid Koala, and producer Dan the Automator. All three of them and their band will play in our studio. But for the past month or so, we've been asking you to mix it up. With our Remix the Mayor contest, we've mined the WNYC archives for sound bites of past New York City mayors. We posted them on soundcheck.org and let you have at them. Now, unlike the real-life mayoral race underway here in New York, your submissions were often hilarious. And it is time now to hear our finalists and to reveal the winner of our latest listener challenge. I should add here that the only prize we're awarding is satisfaction and glory and the adoration of our Soundcheck listeners. So let me first introduce our judges. Julie Klausner is a writer and comedian. On a recent episode of her podcast, How Was Your Week?, she told her fans about conducting an unusual and maybe illegal photo shoot using a city bike.
There's a really long agreement that, you know, most people don't read. I certainly didn't. I skimmed it. I basically was like, is there a section in here that says don't take a city bike into your apartment and take photos of it? And I didn't see that. So hopefully we're in the clear, because if you're not allowed to do that, there's going to be photographic evidence that I did it anyway. But then who's going to come and get me?
Well, so far, no one, because Julie Klausner is here in the studio. And our other judge knows a thing or two about creating remixes that use speeches and news clips as source material. Evan Gregory is a member of the comedy troupe and band known as the Gregory Brothers. They're best known for their series Auto-Tune the News. Here's one of their latest so-called Songify videos called Muffins in Congress, which uses C-SPAN footage of Ted Poe of Texas lamenting the cost of muffins at a Defense Department conference.
Selling $16 muffins. How come these critters cost $16 a piece?
16 a piece.
These are some high-dollar muffins.
Yeah.
Maybe they're shipped in from a special bakery.
So, Evan Gregory of the Gregory Brothers and Julie Klausner are our judges for Remix the Mayor. They both join us in the Soundcheck studio. Evan and Julie, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
So, what do you guys think of our three finalists that we sent to you? Julie?
Thought they were great. I mean, there were a couple that were so catchy that I would just have them on my iPod anyway. But they were really clever. It was one of those things where I could never imagine doing it myself. You have more experience than I do working backwards from samples, but it was one of those things where I was like really impressed by the process that must have given birth to these songs.
And Evan, as Julie says, you do this for a living, so what did you think?
I was most impressed by the great variety in the submissions. There were kind of danceable beats and these kind of like dreamy psychedelic entries. So I did cycle through them perhaps more times was necessary just because I was enjoying it.
There's a few that were kind of dark and scary, too. All of them are on our website, soundcheck.org. So what were you guys looking for? Julie, are you looking for comic effect or what?
I was looking for something that most, maybe this is just because I watch too much competitive reality television. I watch too much Top Chef and Face Off, but I was looking for something that really fulfilled the assignment, that really spoke to the challenge. So it featured the soundbite prominently, and that there was some humor in it, didn't hurt at all. That was at least my criteria.
Evan?
Yeah, we always come from a humorous standpoint, or often do. So although I was looking for that, it wasn't necessarily a hard criteria. For me, the biggest thing was, did it capture the character of some of the sound bites and elevate it in some way?
Hmm. All right. Now, those original sound bites all came from the WNYC archives from the years when WNYC was actually owned and operated by the city of New York. And so, you know, it goes all the way back to Fiorello LaGuardia. Here are some of the original samples that our remix The Mayor Challenge was built upon.
These sell for $3.50 a pair, and that is too much for the average family for a little booty.
This is Ed Koch, your mayor. You know, the sanitation department cannot sweep the street if you don't move your illegally parked car. Please get it out of here.
That's such an involved question, and it takes so much that I would rather not get in on it. I would rather not comment it at the moment.
Mayors Lindsay, Koch, and LaGuardia in reverse order there. We have had some very colorful figures occupying Gracie Mansion.
Certainly.
All right, so let's get to the three finalists in our Remix the Mayor competition. This first one is from Jules, Chris, and Trevor, and is called simply Mayoral Remix.
You know, the sanitation department cannot move your baby shoes.
You know why? Because
the sanitation department
realizes that
your baby shoes
is haunted with little
guggle muggles.
I would say one of the greatest frustrations you have is the hard work to
clean little weasels.
But it's got to be done.
That's Jules, Chris, and Trevor with their mayoral remix. Our judges, Julie Klausner and Evan Gregory, going through the three finalists in our Remix the Mayor competition. What did you like about that one, Julie?
I like that I've never done MDMA, but I imagine it would be similar to what I just heard.
That refrain, it's just magical that they pulled out, and I love the way that they kind of composed their own musical bed that captures mm-hmm. this character. And they even included or incorporated some of the mayor's vocal pauses. The ums and the uhs became
right.
part of the fabric of the song. I love this one.
It had a lot of variety. Like, the chorus wouldn't necessarily have to live in the same world as the beds in the verses or the samples in the verses.
Well, the way they strung samples of different mayors together to create nonsense syllables like, you know, it's hard work to clean your little weasels. But it has to be done.
You're creating a completely new thought that really, once you think about it, is very natural. It is hard to clean your little weasel.
I'll take your word for it. Seems like you could just run them through the wash.
All right, so that's the first of our finalists. Now, listen to this one. This is from The New Lines, and it's called They Pretend to Be Happy, But They Are Not.
When I run for mayor, yes,
to be happy, but they are not. From The New Lines, Fiorello LaGuardia meets a kind of 60s psychedelia thing there. Evan, you guys do a lot of this where you, with the Gregory Brothers, you take speech and turn it into song. That's what's happening to Fiorello LaGuardia here, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I would go so far as to call this a songification, which they lengthened his speech and were able to tease out this melody from LaGuardia. It sounds fantastic, and they accompanied it perfectly with this kind of waltz feel.
It
really works. And they focus specifically on this one sample and tried to pull out everything they could from it. And they picked a great sample because it is an eternal political truth that they pretend to be happy.
Julie, you like this one?
This one was the prettiest one, I thought. This was the one I liked listening to the most. But back to my criteria of, does it fit the assignment? Does it fit the contest? I almost feel like the vocal is beside the point. Like, it's almost diluted to the extent of not being the focus. I think the song is the focus, and that sort of irked me in that way that I don't know when you ever see someone who wants a tattoo covered up, but they don't like their tattoo, and so they want like a bigger tattoo and it's a lot prettier, but you can't really see the original, which is the idea.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I feel like the LaGuardia quote is kind of the original tattoo, that they're just sort of fitting into a bigger, prettier. They want to do, you know, an incense and peppermints style song, which I love. This, as I mentioned, was my favorite to listen to, but
right,
I didn't feel like it preserved the integrity of the quote in the way that...
Well, I have to tell you, you know, the first time I heard this, I was halfway through the song and before I realized what I was listening to. I was like, where's the mayor?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cleverly done. All right, so that's the second of our three finalists. And the third is this one from John Altshuler. It's called Move Your Car, Move Your Booty.
This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your car. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your booty. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your car. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your booty.
When I run for mayor, yes, or run for Congress, I's putting up a big front. I's putting up a big front. Public officials who do their duty can't sleep at night. They pretend to be happy, think that they're happy. That is too much. You know why? Because
this is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your car. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your duty. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your car. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your duty.
Please get it out of here.
John Altshuler, Move Your Car, Move Your Booty. I've been sort of living with these remixes and the original samples, all of which you can hear on our website, soundcheck.org, for over a month now. I still have no idea what Ed Koch means by guggle muggle. I have no idea. I mean, it appears here. No idea what he was talking about.
Every once in a while, he'd cast a spell, and we wouldn't be aware of it.
And that's why we kept reelecting him.
I guess.
So now, Julie, you were saying before the LaGuardia quote, they pretend to be happy, but they're not. You weren't crazy about how the New Lines used it in their remix.
Yeah.
Here, John Altshuler's using the same clip.
Yeah, but this is a party. You know, I picture all the mayors just like getting down in a room. I mean, this is what, you know, remix culture in its most celebratory is. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like this is a big success. I just can't help but smile listening to it.
And musically, it's like both Ed Koch and LaGuardia, the cadence of their voices fits so well into the rhythm of this remix that you almost imagine them doing it purposely. You can picture them in the studio with, you know, a headphone one off their ear, just riffing on the microphone, move your car. You know what? It just works.
Yeah. All right, so those are our three finalists. We have Jules, Chris, and Trevor, The New Lines, and John Altshuler. All right, Evan Gregory, Julie Klausner, time to pick a winner. Who do you like, Evan?
I picked as my favorite, Move Your Car, Move Your Booty.
The one we just heard from John Altshuler.
The one we just heard.
And Julie?
I picked the same one.
It's unanimous. All right, then. Let's get Mr. John Altshuler on the line and bring him into the proceedings on Soundcheck today. Hi, John.
Hello.
Congratulations. You are the winner of our Remix the Mayor Challenge.
Thank you so much. I am honored.
Yeah, but you should be freaking out a little more.
I'm freaking out a little more than I can tell you.
So, John, how did you do this?
Well, the germ of the idea really came from hearing Ed Koch say, "This is Ed Koch, your mayor." Mm-hmm. Just the rhythm of that line alone was kind of enough to set me off. So the first thing I did, just as kind of a proof of concept, was Ed Koch sort of a cappella in that chorus section. "This is Ed Koch, your mayor, move your car." And then, honestly, it just kind of flowed outwards from there. Mm. It was very, it was much easier than I expected it to be.
Uh-huh. Now, John, what do you do for a living?
I'm a recording engineer.
Okay.
The secret sauce comes out.
Yeah, I've been a musician for most of my life. I've been a professional recording engineer for about 7 years.
And who are some of the people you've worked with?
I've worked with They Might Be Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with David Byrne.
Those two artists you just mentioned, I can almost hear them in that, like, that sort of electronic clap machine.
The clap is actually a funny story. That is, that's a sample that a friend of mine named Adam Schneider and I made. It's called the Super Clap. That's actually 50 claps of the two of us stacked up.
Wow.
Into one. Oh. We were really, really bored at college one night.
I was going to say, for what purpose?
A very well-named sample, and here it comes
Thank
to
you.
Good use.
Yeah. Yes, my grandfather suffered from the super clap.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. They haven't yet found a cure.
So it all starts with the rhythm of, "This is Ed Koch, your mayor."
Yeah, and I found that with Koch and LaGuardia, who also plays a big part in this mix,
mm-hmm.
the two of them just kind of naturally seem to have this very, they're basically singing already. And I honestly didn't have to do that much to them to get them to just fall into the tempo of the song.
Mm.
Yeah, I can tell that you found in common that they had a similar tempo or cadence to their delivery, so they made kind of natural duetting partners.
Yeah, I mean, I had to nudge a few things here and there and do a little bit of time compression every once in a while, but for the most part, it was shockingly natural.
And when you set something, the rhythm of which you know, like, "This is Ed Koch, your mayor," do you have to fool around with different melodies before you settle on that? No,
not really.
No offense, but, like, kind of annoying one that you have? Because
well,
it's...
You mean the
That kind of annoying melody is actually... I actually sat down and figured out the pitches of his speech.
Right.
Oh.
And that's what that is. That's where that comes from.
Wow, right. Okay.
"This is Ed Koch, your mayor."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by playing that melody on an instrument, you're actually reinforcing the sound of Ed Koch himself.
Yeah.
Well, John Altshuler, very well done. Congratulations. You are the winner of Remix the Mayor, our listener challenge.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be with you.
And our judges, Julie Klausner, the comedian, writer, host of How Was Your Week, the podcast. She will be bringing her cabaret show called Too Gay for Brooklyn to Joe's Pub, November 22nd through 26th. And Evan Gregory, our other judge, member of the group The Gregory Brothers, probably best known for Songify the News and Autotune the News. You can find out what they're up to at thegregorybrothers.com. Julie and Evan, thank you so much for being our judges today.
Thanks for having
us. It was a pleasure.
This is fun.
And why don't we hear a little more from our winning entry, "Move Your Car, Move Your Booty" by John Altshuler.
"This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your booty. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your car. This is Ed Koch, your mayor. Move your car, move your booty.
1988 will not be a year of boom and zoom. Neither will it be a year of doom and gloom. Instead, it will be the year of broom and groom."
Up next, three artists who launched their careers in hip-hop and electronic music in the 1990s are here in the studio. Dan the Automator, Kid Koala, and Del the Funky Homo Sapien join us as Deltron 3030, and they'll play live in just a moment. This is Soundcheck.
Everybody now can pay the price.
Okay, when I crash landed on the planet, I damn near couldn't understand it. And they couldn't understand it either, talking out the side of their neck. It's just theater. We all know of imposing forces.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. 13 years ago, we traveled into the next millennium, to the year 3030 to be precise. Our guides on that futuristic journey were rapper Del the Funky Homo Sapien, producer Dan the Automator, and DJ Kid Koala, who together became known as Deltron 3030. Now that supergroup is journeying even further into the unknown on a new album called Event 2. We'll get in the Wayback Machine and talk with the guys here in the present day, but first, let's join our friends in the future. This is Deltron 3030 with a song called The Return.
Thank you. burning us. Word is government does not control anyway. The streets have the last say. That's not hard to see. More cars than trees, or more like lumps of metal in rows of several. Nuclear fallout crawls out. Sometimes blinds people are leaving them with no sight, no rights. Love is in broad day. Similar to the ancient fables of the Wild West, or maybe just a trial or test. For humans who thought they were superior and more than just houses of flesh, highly upset. Human beings seeing no way, going straight. Anarchy flows through the alleyways. Little chance, but me and my band go to. Because music has the one glimmer of future entails. Can't nobody use it as well as my scrapers, cause many quit the craft after the pay for it became minimal. Then the full republic backlash to outlaw
zero
production completely. It was discreetly, neatly accomplished under our noses, but us two were still on the quest to keep the globe hopeful and vigilant no matter what situations we live in.
That is called The Return. It is a live performance here in our soundcheck studio by the group known as Deltron 3030. Del the funky Homo sapien. Del, it's been a very long time since you were last on soundcheck. Good to have you back.
Thanks, man.
Dan the Automator, Dan Nakamura.
Hey, how
doing?
Doing
the production and the live programming here and wearing an awesome T-shirt. Make cupcakes, not war.
Exactly.
And then Kid Koala, a.k.a. Eric San, joining us as well behind the turntables. Hi, Eric.
How's it going?
We also have Takahiro Takawa playing guitar, Juan Alderete playing the bass, Alex Swain behind our drum kit. So, Del, I and most people have been saying Deltron 3030. Is it more properly Deltron 3030?
Damn, well, 30, you know what? My original concept was 30-30, like 30/30. Like, you know how you got 20/20 vision that's
right.
Like perfect? Well, more than perfect vision.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or like third eye vision. That's kind of what my concept was before. Yeah. We kind of just freaked it a different direction. So,
yeah, well, it definitely we use it as a marker for the future that we're talking about.
Now, it's a future that even though it's ostensibly 1,000 years away, is very familiar. You know, it's like an Earth that's had some kind of environmental catastrophe, the banks have collapsed and stuff. What has happened between the year 3030, which was the first album, and the year 3040, which is the current one?
To put it simply, like, you know, whoever was in control and thought they could just dominate for so long, they just went too far and the bottom fell out, basically, you know.
Kind of like 2001 to 2013.
Pretty much. I mean, that's what usually happens. Like, you go too far. You know, you can't just push it until, you know, you're going to push it until it gets weak and the bottom fall out. So that's basically what happened.
So you have this striking combination on the record, which is called Event 2, of this kind of lush cinematic sound and this very dark story, which is then shot through with these little bits of humor. You know, you've got the comedian David Cross, you've got the chef David Chang, and, you know, that's an emotional kind of tightrope you guys are walking, right?
It is life, I think. You know, basically, the record obviously is about a pretty bleak future, which, you know, Del describes very well, and I kind of, the music I made to, like, kind of have the orchestrations and the lushness for emotion, kind of much like movies would be scored in the sense of like string sections and stuff where you can feel that. And then because it's that kind of record, I felt like it was a good idea to make sure we had I don't know, the sorbets between the courses, right, so people didn't get overwhelmed too much. And like guys like Cross and Chang, Amber, and Joe Gordon Levin, all those guys, they're there because they help paint the picture of the scene.
This is what we're talking about. Listen, this is called Lawn Chair Quarterback Part 1. This is from The Record, Event 2 by Deltron 3030.
You gonna finish that hover sandwich?
Well, I gotta wait till it hits the floor first.
Oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy over here.
Oh, Jesus.
Look at him with his pants up around his ears.
I know.
Ridiculous kids these days.
I know.
You know, back in my day, you'd wear your pants over your ears. You know? You wouldn't bring them right up to your ears. That's ridiculous. What kind of crazy fashion statement is that?
It's probably his mother. It's his mother's fault. Look at him.
It's his mother's fault. one of the telling moments on the album, Event 2, from Deltron 3030, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, the rapper, Dan the Automator doing the programming, Kid Koala behind the turntables. There was a number of things that sounded sort of like, you know, these kind of weird swooping sounds. And it seemed like that was coming from one of your turntables.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes Del very evocatively will set up a scene with his lyrics, and then Dan will kind of say, all right, well, for this scene, we need a rock skipping over water or a spaceship landing kind of sound, or a reverse ice skating, nuclear lake sound. I was like, oh, I have just a thing.
I happen to have one of those in my crate.
In my arsenal.
Yeah, I've been with Eric, working with Eric since, like, Handsome Boy Modeling School, like, about 2099, mm-hmm. and basically he knows exactly what I'm thinking, frighteningly, actually.
Now, Del, you are still the character of Deltron Zero, as you were in the first Deltron 3030 record.
Correct, yeah.
Who is he? Is he kind of like a West African griot, the keeper of the history, the oral storyteller, kind of?
You know what? Not really. To tell everybody now the story on record, that's pretty much what he got to resort to. But really, he's out there just trying to survive and save his neck, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you get in his way, he might have to smoke you. You know what I'm saying? if he sees somebody that needs some help, he might lend a helping hand because mm-hmm. he cares, But he doesn't care that much.
Right.
He's trying to save his own neck, too, because it's pretty wild.
So now how much of a kind of story, the arc of a narrative, did you have in your mind when you started writing the lyrics?
Me and a friend of mine named Grant James, who used to direct a lot of video work, he used to do a lot of video work for me. So me and him, when AIM was in style or whatever, we sat on AIM for about 3 hours and just talked back and forth and basically...
So it's instant messaging, AOL instant messaging.
Yeah, exactly. We basically just wrote out a script that way, basically, and just came down with the basic fundamentals of what the Event 2 was going to be. And that's the framework that I used throughout the whole thing. And
I
had to change it a little bit, but,
Two follow-up questions. One is, isn't AOL instant messaging 2004, 2005?
Started thinking about this a while ago.
Okay. And the other thing is, weren't you a little concerned that you guys are, putting these ideas back and forth on the internet? And, who knows who else might have been...
Who cares? It's garbage anyway. Who cares?
Well, the resulting album is called Event 2. It is out now. Deltron 3030 is playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today. They are performing live in New York Monday night at the Highline Ballroom. That's Monday the 14th. And, of course, right here on Soundcheck today. Let's hear another song. This one is called Nobody Can.
Pro Era, come to the show tonight.
Once again, it's Deltron 3030 live on Soundcheck.
Running with was pulling the dark saber out on hostages. Zeltron, oh, from the undercity. Wonders will they never cease? Fear of black planet, serious heat. Here in the street, high doubts and strongholds. Action adventures go beyond the bow. The lost ones lobbing and repulsing trucks. Transporting troops in, not for sport. My measurement systems are pleasure for listening. Imperial decree that legalizes conditions in certain instances. Battle techniques require split second timing. The use is designed with large spacecrafts of mine, highly maneuverable. Turbo lasers will do more than subdue them fools. Provisional governor, peripheral cameras cover every corner and crevice. I catch a glimpse at Deltron. It's our hero. If we can do it, nobody can. With a wave of the hand and a flick of the wrist, the world will see you certainly give you a glimpse. Deltron. It's our hero. If we can do it, nobody can. With a wave of the hand and a flick of the wrist, the world will see you certainly give you a glimpse. Yo, attack on my research station on the coast of my private continent. They can't sway my confidence with bloated, sugar-coated nonsense. Despite the strong sense of honor, it was I that assassinated the rhyme plot. Bombs dropped, cutting them off, plus winning support from the people for what I have bought. A constant remembrance, the emblem with the hero insignia kept crumpling in the wind, they diminishing. Strength of size, emphasize three eyes. Even in these bleak times, I'm sure to speak my mind, cause it ain't illegal yet. The thought process, fools lost in a time warp, which then for the final course, cross-reference the alien amenities, the vector technologies and the prison facilities. Discovery of the plans are really what we had sought. For lovers of the new order on their luxury yachts, served as a commander for hip-hop's elite fleets. Planets of the galaxy understood my feats. Deltron is our hero. If we can't do it, nobody can. With a wave of the hand and a flick of the wrist, the world will lose the certain we give to lift. Deltron is our hero. Biological chemical scramblers, electromagnetic probes taking a gander, incredible stratagems for several millennia. Kept my folks in with love, we still defended them. The realest path presents most from killing each other, but still something suggests the undercover. Guidelines with interactions taking precedent. Primary news agencies leaking the evidence. Semi-precious stones hoarded at home since the great collapse. Finance taken back. Now the crime wave by the mind slaves got the populace trying to escape to a new planet flying in space. The planetary officials, secretive and aloof, created a capitalist move to overshoot the chaos and effectively cash out at they laws, issuing a galactic civil war to keep the days long. The surest options, neurotoxins, erase the data files of the central computer and stop it. Deltron is our hero. If we can do it, nobody can. With a wave of the hand and a flick of the wrist, world will see you certainly do you a glimpse. Deltron is our hero. If we can't do it, nobody can. With a wave of the hand and a flick of the wrist, world will see you certainly give you a glimpse.
We get busy.
He had just like that now.
Deltron is the new
like that now.
That is Deltron 3030 live on Soundcheck with a song called Nobody Can, which you'll find on their newest album, Event 2, the long-awaited follow-up to their first record from some 13 years ago. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having
Thank
us.
You, man.
Let's go.
Covert code words contain information that colonizes nations or divides the races. Try to find a way that your mind can escape it. Intoxication of selectively costly capers until we turn into vapor. The unseen hand be commanding the paper. Using data sets, summer movements and actions. You're too proactive, they shoot you for asking. Music is hazardous, so a system is harnessed. Stringent enough to put bars around the conquest. Arguments end up assaulted or charged to death. Once again, firebomb beyond recognition.
Coming up next, what's behind the war of words in Nashville? We'll talk with two writers about the struggle for the future of country music. Next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Wanted to share with you a voicemail we received after our recent segment about dogs and music, which looked at how dogs respond to certain types of sound.
Hey, my name is Miles from Newton, New Jersey. And I just want to say, I think that dogs do enjoy different kinds of music. I had a dog who used to love to sit in the room where my metal band would practice. And later, towards the end of his days, I had to take him to the vet, you know, right before we had to put him down. And I was listening to some punk music, and he didn't really seem to enjoy it. He was very restless, and I put on some metal, and he laid right down in the back seat and quieted down. And I just think it's really great that other people are figuring this out, that dogs really do enjoy that stuff like we do.
If you missed our segment on dogs and music, listen to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes or stream it on demand at soundcheck.org. And now, as Monty Python used to say, for something completely different, we turn to the Zac Brown Band.
They don't know what they got till it's gone, like it or not.
One thing that everyone in country music can agree on is that the genre isn't what it used to be. But that seems to be the only thing that country people can agree on at this point, as they're increasingly taking sides in a battle between so-called traditional country and pop country. Joining us today to talk about this increasingly uncivil war is Entertainment Weekly writer Grady Smith. He's here with me in the studio. Hi, Grady.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And joining us from Nashville is radio host and author Craig Havokhurst. Craig, good to have you back.
Hi, John.
Grady, let me start with you because you wrote this piece called How Country Music Went Crazy. For folks who are unaware of this brewing brouhaha, what's been going on?
I think in the last year especially, really over the last 5 years, but it's come to a head in the last year, there's been increasingly contentious attitudes between people that want to see country music harken back to the old sound it used to have with pedal steel and really storytelling songs, and the other side of it is a giant movement into the pop world. We're seeing auto-tune, and we're seeing... There's the term bro country that comes to mind.
Which was coined by Jody Rosen.
Jody Rosen of New York Magazine. What's interesting is a debate has really broken out between Zac Brown and Luke Bryan. Zac Brown has never actually been that traditional in his sound, but he really values good songcraft and good songwriting. Look, this guy made a song called Chicken Fried. He understands that you can make playful, silly music. It doesn't all have to be that serious. But he also has songs like Highway 20 Ride about a father visiting his son after the parents get separated. And I just think he wishes there were more good songcraft in Nashville.
Well, Zac Brown recently commented on the state of country music on a Canadian radio station, and he had some pretty harsh words about one of his country music colleagues.
I love Luke Bryan, and he's had some great songs, but this new song is the worst song I've ever heard. And I see it being giant commercially successful within what is called country music these days, but I also feel like that the people deserve something better than that.
I got that real good, feel good stuff up under the seat of my big black jacked up truck. Rolling on 35s, pretty girl by my side. You got that suntan skirt and boots, waiting on you to look my way and scoop. Your little hot self over here, girl, hand me another beer, yeah. All them other boys wanna line you up and take you downtown, but you look like the kind that likes to take it way down.
So the song is That's My Kind of Night by Luke Bryan. It is enormously successful. Zac Brown, the worst song he's ever heard, he said on this Canadian radio station.
And Jason Aldean came to Luke Bryan's defense on Instagram and said to Zac Brown, trust me when I say nobody gives up about what you think.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So as we said in the opening, an increasingly uncivil war breaking out in the country music ranks. Grady Smith is here with me in the studio, wrote this article for Entertainment Weekly. Craig Havokhurst, the Nashville-based radio host and author, on the line with us. Craig, is it more complicated than just, you know, pop versus traditional? Because I remember this sort of thing from like the 1980s, the same sort of debate when country first began to incorporate elements of pop and rock music.
Yeah, every wave of style in country music, the genre has provoked a backlash going back into the 50s. I mean, country Nashville reacted to trends in popular music in the 50s and 60s by adding strings or background vocals, and some people thought it was a catastrophe then. The difference is that the quality of what you get depends on the ingredients you put in. And in the 50s and 60s, they were the producers and the songwriters and the musicians were, you know, influenced by people like Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett. And so you had sort of Nashville-level production and belief in quality music meeting another genre in American music, which was sophisticated and excellent music we still listen to. When I started covering country music right around 2000, the fusion that was going on was between country music as it existed then and pop as it existed then, which were boy bands. And the first band I remember asking radio programmers then, well, who is exciting and who are you listening to that's new and upcoming? The big buzz band was Rascal Flatts. Mm-hmm. And Rascal Flatts is a combination of barely Alabama-esque country.
I'm sorry, when you say Alabama-esque, do you mean Alabama the state or Alabama the band?
The band, which was a pretty easy listening kind of version of country from the 70s and 80s, a beloved band for sure. But then you had their interest in Foreigner and Journey, and I discovered that the people programming country radio, which was a dwindling number of decision makers, were people who had not grown up on traditional country music. They didn't care about it. Their core influences were pop from the 80s, pop and rock. So, and we get the hybrid now that is just a continuation of nobody really wanting to infuse country the radio format. It's no longer, we're not listening to country the genre. The split happened a decade or more ago between the genre and country the radio format. And a radio format is a calculated play at a certain demographic to get a certain kind of advertiser base buzzed up.
So, and Grady, that seems to be one of the subtexts of your article, is that this is country music for a pop music audience.
Definitely. I think Taylor Swift has kind of opened the floodgates in people's perceptions of what country can be and how it can fuse with pop. I also think kind of the demise of rock radio in a lot of ways has led to a lot of rock and rock guitars especially getting put into country music. And then I think Nashville producers kind of can't resist that. If this floodgates open a little, why wouldn't you want to experiment? Why wouldn't you want to play around? But it's weirdly, instead of diversifying the sound, I think a lot of people, and I would put myself in this category, sort of feel like it has led to a homogenization of the sound of country music.
So you have phenomena like Florida Georgia Line.
Yes.
You know, who twice have had a huge hit with this song, Cruise, once in the original version, once in the remix with the rapper Nelly. Is this an example of what Jody Rosen, who's been on our show numerous times, a very fine writer about music, is this what he means by bro country?
At Cruise, at Florida Georgia Line, was actually the sort of the avenue through which he explained bro country. He said they pay lip service to small towns and farms, but what they really care about is getting drunk and laid. It's music by and of kind of the tatted up white muscular gym rats, and it often refers to girls as girl in the song and sings a lot about beer and trucks.
Let's hear a little bit from Florida Georgia Line, the original version of the song Cruise.
Yeah.
his Florida Georgia Line and Cruise, which recently became the longest-running number one song of all time on the country music charts. And we're talking about the split that has happened in the country music world between the so-called traditionalists and those who espouse a more pop-inflected kind of country. Grady Smith has written about this for Entertainment Weekly. Here with us in the studio, Craig Havockhurst on the line from Nashville. And Craig, you have followed country radio and written about country radio for a very long time. You know, Grady was talking about the country music format as being distinct now from country music. What is the state of country on the radio these days?
Well, I think that if historians are going to look back at a split when they look back, you know, years from now, I think they're going to have to write about it from the point of view of the late 90s when the Americana format was born. It encompasses what has been called alternative country. It encompasses bluegrass. It encompasses singer-songwriter and what is, you know, you could generically call American roots music and its influences.
Right.
The real action is over there in what, you know, in bluegrass land, where Alan Jackson's just made a record. Vince Gill is cutting traditional country with the Time Jumpers out of Nashville and making a wonderful album. The Steep Canyon Rangers are touring with Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
None of those people, I mean, and it's interesting that Vince Gill and Alan Jackson in recent months have both said, look, the state of country radio is abysmal. And Vince Gill last year famously said you could boil it down to, I'm hot, you're hot, we've got a truck. and that was such a crystal. And, you know,
three chords and the truth, and he didn't even need the three chords for that one.
Yeah, I know. And I can't explain the sameness of this male bro country phenomenon right now, but it really is about 15 of the top 20 songs on the charts that have the same groove, the same derivative hip-hop sort of sound, the same, I mean, they are really mindless lyrics. And the writers and publishers in Nashville are, privately, they are pained by this. The guys who are working Florida Georgia Line, many of them in their, you know, secret moments over a drink will say, this is terrible, but it's what the radio programmers demand. This has been led by a radio industry, and Nashville's record labels have had to follow along. They've had some interesting, quirky little moments of exception. I think Zac Brown is a fairly rootsy guy. Taylor
right,
Swift
right.
is a acclaimed songwriter who's found a sound, and she's drifting more pop, but nobody resents her success because she makes solid records and puts on really big, great shows. And then a case we really should talk about is Kacey Musgraves, who is one of the few people released through the major label system who everybody across the board, country, Americana, any rock critic is like, this is special. This is amazing country music made by an independently minded, strong woman. And I don't understand how it is that the country format is so male dominated now, whereas just a few years ago, it was a soccer mom format. And how it's turned into sort of disco rap, macho man thing. I don't know who the audience is anymore. I don't get it.
If you ain't got two kids by 21, you're probably gonna die alone. At least that's what tradition told you. And it don't matter if you don't believe. Come Sunday morning, you best be there in the front row like you're supposed to. Same hurt in every heart. Same trailer, different park. Mama's hooked on Mary Kay, brother's hooked on Mary Jane, and daddy's hooked on Mary two doors down. Mary, Mary, quack and Sherry, we get bored so we get married, and just like dust we settle in this town. On this
That is Kacey Musgraves with Merry-Go-Round from her album Same Trailer, Different Park, which is a line from that song.
Yes.
Grady Smith, country music writer for Entertainment Weekly, here with me on Soundcheck in the studio. Craig Havockhurst, the Nashville-based author of, among other things, the book Air Castle of the South, with us on the line from Nashville. I mean, if we're talking about the traditionalists and the pop country factions, where does Casey fit in? I mean, she's got the banjo, she's mm-hmm. got the songwriting, but the production is very lush and modern.
You know, people can say that country music fans are just want to be old school and traditional, have everything be the way it always was. But I think they're very willing to embrace modern production and gradually have over forever as long as country music has existed. Yeah. It really is about the storytelling. I think there's a sense that Nashville has always had the most mature songwriting, and the fact that that seems to have been degraded is really what's getting people's goat.
Craig, what are you looking for with the CMAs coming up soon?
I tell you, I've just about given up on finding anything of sustenance. I follow them. I follow the award shows. But think about this. Country is the only genre, format, I should say again, with four nationally televised award shows.
Yeah, what's that all about? How many awards do people need?
It's just a bizarre factor where they seem to be pumping air into a balloon that everybody sort of feels is just falling to earth. People are walking away from radio in general. Across the board, people are listening to less radio. Meanwhile, a show like Nashville on ABC comes along mm-hmm. where they present these dilemmas, and Juliet Barnes, the lead character, starts off the series by saying, I'm sick of being given this immature pop music, just saying I'd like to be a real artist, and her label's like, no. You know, the label system is portrayed remotely accurately as one that sort of needs to keep the triggers on the
fingers
dials
on the trigger,
immediate gratification for that right. pop hit.
All right. Well, the CMAs are happening soon. It's November 6th. And we'll find out then how people like Kacey Musgraves do. She and Taylor Swift both leading the pack with six nominations each. Grady Smith with me here in the studio, country music writer for Entertainment Weekly, and radio host and author Craig Havokhurst with us on the line from Nashville. Guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, John.
Tomorrow on the show, live music from Ireland, from the band Bell X1. Yes, U2 is the most popular Irish band in the world, but Bell X1 is number two, and maybe they try harder. They'll play live for us on Soundcheck. Also, a look at how television viewing behavior is changing the much-loved TV theme song and its role on new shows. That's tomorrow. Hope you'll join us then. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.